you have your Bibles open, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. I thought it'd be a good way to start the new year that I could get through by 12. And I didn't know if that would be all right with y'all or not. But I'll start with chapter 12 anyway, so there'll be a 12 somewhere in this message. So chapter 12 and verse number 1. Notice of Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, and according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall eat it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roasted with fire, his head, his legs, and the prudence thereof. And ye shall eat you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins gird, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord God. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I leave off the reading there. And just before I pray, I do want to get this announcement on the radio, remind you to be back in the evening service tonight. Tonight we'll have a kind of an abbreviated music song service, and then we're going to have the reading of the Revelation. Tonight we'll read the entire book of the Revelation. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, blessed is he that readeth and he that heareth the prophecies of this book. And so we begin this first Sunday of 2012. Tonight, we'll read through the entire book of Revelation and from start to end. So you come, and we've done this several times, but I want to invite all our friends in the internet radio audience to join us and to come back and be in the services tonight at 6:30 for the reading of the Revelation. Let's bow together for prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing on all the friends that we have already mentioned, our Father, who are now in the hospital, those who are anticipating surgeries this week. And our Father, we know, as our friends have just sung, that God, there are miracles, that you do miracles. And God, we just put everything in your hand. And God, we know that you've created our bodies. You're well able to touch and heal. Bless all of our friends, our Father, who this week are in the hospital and who will have surgeries. And God, I pray this morning that God, the Holy Ghost, will breathe on me. Our Father, what a blessed privilege to bow before you this morning. And God, I ask, Father, that you touch me and fill me. I pray, our Father, this year, our Father, will be the greatest year of ministry in my own life and in the ministry of this church. I pray, God, that you bless families in our church. God, I pray that you'd watch over and care for them, take care of them physically and financially and spiritually. And I pray, God, that we'll see many come to know Christ this year. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now will give me your anointing. God, please take this body. You consider our frame that we're but dust. Without you, we can do nothing. And God, I pray for the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost of God upon me this morning. God, speak to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls who will live forever. And God, I pray now that you'd have your way in each of our lives. Lord, please don't let anybody in this building die and go to hell. I pray, God, every person that's lost will be saved. And every saint of God surrendered and yielded, use us for your glory. God, be honored today, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here's a wonderful passage of Scripture. And in this passage of Scripture is the account of the preparation for the Passover. And you know the story. But one statement in the beginning of this has been on my mind for the last few days. Notice, if you will, please, in verse number 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. I want to preach to you this morning for a few minutes on it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Here's this story. This is a biblical account, a historical account. The children of Israel had been in bondage. They had been taken down, or they'd gone down into Egypt, and there they were put captive, and they'd been in bondage, and they cried out to God for deliverance. God sends Moses to deliver them out from under the yoke of Pharaoh. And they go through a series of different battles, if you will, with the gods of Egypt. And God is demonstrating that He's superior to any other god, that there are none other gods, actually. They're all false gods. And finally, He comes to this ultimate test, and that is the death of the firstborn. And God, in preparation for that, sends this message through Moses to all the children of Israel. And He says for them to take a lamb. He said, now, what we're doing today is radically going to change your life. It's going to change your calendar. He said, this month, which is the month of April for the Jewish nation, He said, this will be the beginning of your year. It begins with a sacrifice for sin. It begins with salvation. Many of you have what you call a spiritual birthday. You remember the day and the hour and the time that you got saved. And while you say, I was born October the 5th, 1946, that's my physical birthday. But you have a definite date that you consider your spiritual birthday. That's when you really began life in the Lord. And that's true of every one of us. We really begin to live when we get born again by the grace of God. But in this passage of Scripture, He's talking about Israel. And He says to them, He said, I want you to take on the 10th day of the month a lamb. You go out and pick a lamb out of your own flock. It's to be a male. It's to be without blemish. That represents the sinless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They were to take it on the 10th day. Bible numbers are very important. And the number 10 in the Bible has to do with testing or trial, and it relates to the Ten Commandments. You see, the Bible teaches that the Ten Commandments that we all talk about so much were never given to give life. And Paul raises the question, why then was the law? He said the law was added that every mouth might be stopped, that all the world become guilty before God. And so they take the lamb on the 10th day because Christ did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He is going to fulfill every commandment of God. He's going to satisfy. I had a dear friend who has picked up Highway Shepherd CDs and was recently saved. He was saved because we had been sending, Brother Mitchell and Sylvia had been sending CDs to another lady in another state, and she sent this man back in the state of North Carolina some CDs, and he listened to it, and he got saved by the grace of God. He's a veteran. He's in a wheelchair. He has oxygen 24/7. Can't get out and do much, although he can go to church. He has to take all his oxygen with him. But he's gotten saved. And he called me this week and he said, Brother Billy, I've got something that's been really bothering me. I want to ask you about it. And I said, what is that? And he said, I was a wicked man. He said, I've been through war and been through all that. He said, but he said, I was wicked. He said, I've done everything you could just about do that would be called sin in my life. And he said, I'm just wondering, now that I've gotten saved, that Christ has saved me, will I have to answer for all of that when I stand before the throne of God? And I said, absolutely not. I said, the Bible said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And on the 10th day, which represents the law, He took that lamb. They were to take that lamb. And in a probationary period from then until the 14th, they were to examine Him closely, and not one fault was to be found in Him. He was to be without blemish. When Jesus Christ came clothed in human flesh, He walked for 33 and a half years before men, and they could find no fault in Him. As they examined Him, He had perfectly fulfilled the law. He kept the moral code of the day, and He had no sin in Him, no guile whatsoever. He was a perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And He died on the 14th day, 4 days after chapter 4 speaks of the world. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. He died, giving his life a sacrifice for sin for every person in the whole world. And he's paid your sin debt. The Bible says that they were to take that lamb, and it said the whole congregation was to be involved in the death of that lamb. They were to kill that lamb and take his blood and put it on the doorpost and the top post of their dwelling place. The whole congregation was to do that, the Bible said. And that speaks to the fact that Jesus Christ died for every person, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He died for you, and he died for me. He died for people all around the world. He died for all those who've ever been born in Adam's race. He shed his blood that they might be redeemed by that blood. That blood had to be applied. And so it is, my dear friend, while he shed his blood, and while the Lamb of God was slain on Calvary's cross, and he died to pay your sin debt, that blood must be applied at your house. It must be applied in your life. While he died to save you, you're not saved automatically unless the blood's been applied. And the way the blood is applied is by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And that lamb had to be, the blood had to be applied for it to be effective. And so it is effectual to all who will believe. He'll save whosoever will may come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And so this morning, in the first Sunday of 2012, you're not saved just because Jesus died. You're saved because you have responded in faith to that death and received him as your Savior and Lord. And how many of you can say, praise God, I know I'm saved. I've been washed in the blood. Amen. Thank you this morning. I appreciate that. But now notice, the blood had to be applied. But then he talked about how they were to partake of it. They were to eat that, the Bible says in this passage of Scripture. They were to have it roasted with fire. Not boiled in water, but roasted with fire. And fire speaks of judgment. And my dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ bore all our sins in his own body on the tree. And what happened was God judged every one of our sins in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fire of the judgment of God fell on him there. And there's where he paid our sin debt. And my dear friend, it's not just that he came. It's not just that he lived a sinless life. It's not even the fact that he died, but he bore our sins in his own body. And what he did on that cross is Jesus Christ bore our judgment for sin. The wage of sin is death. And the Bible said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place. He died in our stead. And my dear friend, the judgment of Almighty God, the fire of God fell on him. And he experienced the fire of the wrath of God. So when you and I don't have to. And he said in 1 Thessalonians that we have been delivered from the wrath to come. Because the wrath of Almighty God had already fallen on his dear son. And those who've trusted him as Savior have experienced redeeming grace. And we don't have to experience the wrath of God. I've experienced the love of God and the forgiveness of God. But not as wrath. His son experienced that wrath. His son experienced my separation when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back on his own son so I could be made a son and draw nigh to him. I thank God for him experiencing that. But not only was it to be roasted, it was to be eaten, every bit of it. Every bit of it was to be consumed. My dear friend, you must respond to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. But then to sustain you, you must daily fellowship with him. He said, I'm the living bread. He said, you're to feed on me. Feed on the things of God. They were to take that meat and eat it with bitter herbs. I'm talking about bitter. And because in the ceremonial celebration of that feast that would follow, they have to have bitter herbs because it reminds them of the bitterness of sin. It reminds them of the bondage that they were in Egypt when they partake of that. But they would eat it with unleavened bread. Leaven is yeast, and there's no yeast in it. The Bible compares sin in several different ways, but it does one way is leaven. Leaven is invisible when it's mixed in with a flour. It's tasteless when it's mixed in with the flour. And the only reason you know it's in there is because of what happens, how it begins to grow, because of that leaven that's on the inside. And it's like sin that grows. And so they would have their bread without any leaven. And that leaven speaks of sin. And Jesus had no sin in him. He was the bread of life, but he had no sin in him. And he suffered our death, bore our sin, but he himself had no sin. But then notice, they were to eat that, clothed, fully clothed, with their shoes on and their loins girded. And you know that the men in that day wore long robes most of the time, just like ladies did. But if they were going on a journey, or if they were going to be busy, if they were going to be traveling, they would gird up their loins. They would take and they'd tie those long robes so they wouldn't be in the way and their movement be unrestricted. If they were going to be going somewhere, they gird up their loins. They would have shoes on their feet because when they came into their dwelling, into the house of the tent, they always took off their shoes and sandals. And you know the custom of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was with his disciples, they'd come in, they'd all taken their sandals off and he washed their feet because that was the custom. You take off your shoes, you leave them. They even do that in the Philippines. They leave their shoes at a place and they go in the house barefooted. But they wash their feet. And so if you're going to have a good meal, Your robes are flowing and your shoes are off and you recline and you relax to eat this meal. But he said, that's not where you're going to have this meal. You're going to have this meal ready to leave, ready to travel, because this is not the end. This is the beginning. It's just the beginning. Number one, it's just the beginning when you get saved. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. When you get saved by the grace of God, thank God all your sins are gone. He washes you white as snow. And thank God that you become a child of the King. You are now a son of God. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. The same man who called me on yesterday and talked to me about make sure all of his sins were gone, he said he'd enjoyed listening to the CDs and he let his preacher listen to some of them where he'd been going to church at and the preacher enjoyed them. And he said, well, I want to give out some to the congregation. He said, no, there's no need to do that. They're all saved. Everybody in his church was saved. But he said, preacher, I don't understand that. He said, because I got saved. He said, but I enjoy listening to them. I always get something. I said, that's because, but when you get saved, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. As newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And when you get saved by the grace of God, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. I mean, you ought to shout and rejoice that you're saved, but that's not the end. That's just the beginning. You're a babe in Christ now. Now you need to study the Bible. Now you need to read the word of God. Now you need to exercise prayer. Now you need to begin to serve. That's not the end. That's just the beginning. You've got born again. You're saved by the grace of God. You're a newborn babe, but boy, it's just the beginning. In your Christian experience, it's just the beginning. Salvation is just the beginning of truth. Thank God, I'm glad. You know, I thought for the longest kind of time that when I got saved, I did that, or I was the instigator of that. I thought there were, you know, that here was oh, poor old God. He was begging me to get saved, and God was trying his best to get me saved, and I didn't know. And then finally, after a while, I decided I knew what I needed to do, and I found the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, I was dead in trespasses and sin, didn't have a clue. I was dead as a wedge. And if he hadn't come to where I was, if he hadn't quickened me, if he hadn't granted me faith, if he hadn't brought a conviction in my heart, I never would have got saved. It was him all the time. I thought it was me. And thank God, I began to understand what John Newton meant. The more I sing that song we sang last night, that Brad had us to sing, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know, lost things don't find themselves. Somebody finds the lost thing. Boy, that got good to me. Then I understand, praise God. I got to wondering about it one time. I graduated 185 in my high school graduating class. I graduated 85th. And I always tell you, that means I'm not too dumb and I'm not too smart. I'm kind of right in the middle. But 185. But in my senior class, after some years that I'd been saved and I was serving the Lord, I counted upon my hand five people that I knew were saved and in church. Five out of my graduating class. And I wondered, here I am right in the middle. I'm not smarter than a whole lot of people. I didn't get saved because I was smart. And I'm not as dumb as some. How is it that I got saved? I'll tell you how I got saved. I got saved by the grace of God. He came to where I was and he convicted me and he drew me by his grace. And it's not because of you're smart or you're dumb. It's not because of your what we would consider wicked sinners or social sinners. Because all of a sudden it comes short of the glory of God. But my dear friend, it's because of His marvelous grace that we're saved. And as you begin to study the Word of God, boy, things get big to you. I mean, the truth about God's grace, the truth about faith and love, and you grow in the Lord. It's just the beginning of truth when you get saved. When you get saved, God begins to show you so many wonderful things. And day by day, great, exciting truths in this Bible for you to experience. It's just the beginning of truth when you get saved. It's just the beginning of temptation when you get saved. Some people think, well, they got saved now. Boy, all the temptation is behind them. No, you ain't never been tempted until you get saved. I mean, when you get saved, you've changed sides. You're on the winning side. You're on the Lord's side. And boy, that makes the devil mad. He's had you for all these years. He knew you were going to be in hell. And then all of a sudden, the marvelous grace of God is effective in your life. And you turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. And then, boy, he gets mad and he'll come against you with every kind of temptation you ever imagine. I mean, every thought that you thought you'd never have again and things that come in your life and all kind of temptation, that's not the end. And I talked to an old preacher one time, Brother Avery Rogers, and I said to him, Brother Avery, how old do you have to get before you quit having certain type of temptations? He's 85 years old. He said, you got to ask somebody older than me. I don't know. There's certain things, my dear friend, you're going to have for the rest of your life, and the devil will intensify it. The more you try to serve God, the greater temptations will come your way. Praise God. But the Bible said that God, with every temptation, will make a way of escape. He's made that preparation. It's just the beginning. And so when you get saved, and next thing you know, you got all of these voices hollering at you in the inside of your head and temptations coming your way, don't throw up your hands and say, well, I must not be saved. No, that's not true at all. You are saved. That's why they're getting so intense. It's just the beginning of trials and troubles when you get saved. Some people say, well, when you get saved, bless God, you'll all have a Cadillac and a mink stole. Everything will be good, pie in the sky by and by. All of that, everything's going to be wonderful when you get saved. Well, when you get saved, you're on your way to heaven. But Lord Jesus Christ said this, in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He said, listen, I'm telling you right now, he said, you're going to have tribulation. And when you get saved, it's just the beginning of your troubles. You say, Brother Bill, I've been saved. I don't understand. I'm trying to serve God, trying to live for the Lord, and I'm having more trouble than I've ever had in all my life. That's good. That's a good thing. My Bible says, listen, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Now, that word temptation doesn't mean solicitation to do evil or sin. It has to do with trials. He says, as a child of God, you ought to just praise God that you're having trouble. Because here's what he said, because the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, if need be, he said. Your faith is going to be tested and tried. That means it's going to be put through the fire, but it's going to come forth as gold. Genuine faith. And you're going to have problems. Absolutely. I was telling about my friend, Brother Mike Parker, who's retired from pastoring just a few weeks ago. He had plans. His wife's mother has not been, she's been declining, of course, in years and dementia and everything. And she was in a few months ago, she had to go into a place. Well, they informed him on yesterday she could no longer stay there. And so now she's back at home with them. And as far as he knows, because of their financial situation and because of her financial situation, she'll be there for the rest of her life. And it's 24/7 for them. That's not really what he is talking to me about 6 months ago for his life. But God had another plan. God has another plan. And I don't know what I'll face this year in 2012, and you don't know what you'll face, but just because you're saved and on your way to heaven doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. I wish I could tell you where, but if I did that, I'd be a politician running for president. But you are going to have problems. And you are going to have tribulation. You are going to have trouble. And when you get saved, that's just the beginning of your troubles. But I want to tell you, praise God. He said this. He said, be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. He said, listen, the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. God's going to be with you in it. And God will demonstrate. He said, and you'll see God in greater power and greater demonstration of who He is in sometime in the most difficult times of your life. I was rambling through my desk there. One of my New Year's resolutions is to clean up. Around the house and in my office. Please don't ever go in my office. And don't open no doors because you might get caved in on. But I was looking at my desk this morning and I found a little note I'd written in 1903. And here's what I wrote it down to myself. Not 1903. A little of that dementia kicked in right there. In 2003, I wrote it down. Here's what it said. It said, the avenues to God's blessing are often rough roads. The avenues to God's blessing are often rough roads. And some of the darkest times you're going through in your life, one of these days you'll see it as being the greatest blessing you ever had. Listen, just because you got saved, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of temptation. It's just the beginning of trials and troubles. It's just the beginning. But can I say to you, it's maybe just the beginning of tyrants. They thought, boy, when we leave Pharaoh, when we leave Pharaoh in the dust, or when he's drowned and we leave him behind, boy, listen, boy, that'll be the end of our enemies. There are many tyrants that you'll face in your Christian experience. It's just the beginning of the enemies that are coming against you. You're going to be battling the world, the flesh, and the devil for the rest of your life. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of having to face the tyrants in your life. There are plenty of them, and I don't have to enumerate them for you, but I just want to tell you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you'll have a lot of battles to fight, but praise God, you're on the winning side. And if you'll submit yourself to God, the Bible said if you'll humble yourself and submit yourself to God, the devil will flee from you. You're going to have battles. You're going to have tyrants, but thank God you can have victory. I want to say something to you. When you get saved by the grace of God, it's not the end of the journey. It's just the beginning of your travels. Thank God. God's done so many wonderful things for me in my Christian experience. But I'm not talking about just geographical travels. It's just the beginning of your travels in the experience of faith and life as a believer. You're going to travel a lot of roads. Some of them will be good roads. Some of them will be bad roads. You'll go some places. And God's got a plan for your life. It's not the beginning, it's just the end. It's not the end, it's just the beginning of your Christian experience. When you get saved by the grace of God, I have no idea where your road will lead you. It may lead you into the land of wealth. It may lead you into the land of poverty. It may lead you through the home, through the land of physical health. It may lead you through the land of physical disability. But wherever he leads you, God's got a plan. I shared with you a few weeks ago, then when I was up in Front Royal, Virginia, I had the privilege of going into the home of a veteran, 29 years old, who was shot by a sniper. Shot him in the neck, and it came out through here and just shattered and destroyed his jaw and cut his vertebrae. He's paralyzed from his neck down. And that young man had the sweetest spirit you've ever seen. And he said this. He said, for a long time, I prayed for God to heal me. He said, but now I just pray for God to use me. And my dear friend, God may lead you down through some difficult roads. It's just the beginning of your travels. But I'll tell you one thing, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Bible said he leads me through that path. Wherever you go, he's leading you. Wherever you go, he's in front of you. When you get saved, it's just the beginning of your travels. But oh, my dear friend, when you get saved, that's a wonderful thing. Greatest thing that I know of that you could ever imagine is to have salvation in the Lord. But that's just the beginning of your treasures. Just the beginning of your treasures you have in him. The Bible said, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom. Oh, listen. Oh, the treasures of God's wisdom and God's word and the treasure of worship. All those things. It's just the beginning. When you get saved by the grace of God, it's just the beginning. Let me say this quickly. All those things are true about salvation. But it's true about sin as well. Sin in your life is just the beginning. Just the beginning. One little sin in your life. You say, brother, it's not very much. Preacher, it's not much. Just one little thing. That's just the beginning. Paul said, you ought to shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Sin has a way of growing. And sin in your life right now, that's just the beginning. You look at families and look at people and say, well, how in the world could that ever happen? How could they ever do that? Answer, sin. They didn't mean to do that. They had no intention of becoming a drug addict, had no intention of becoming an alcoholic, had no intention to get their life get so out of control as it is. It was just the beginning. Just one little thing. Sin starts. It's just the beginning. I went out the other day, two or three days, I tried to do some burning in my yard. A lot of the Christmas paper and a little bit of debris there in the yard, I was going to burn it, and had a good rain and the weather, and it was no wind at all, so I thought I'd burn that. I don't know if I'm supposed to be telling this or not in church. And I think about it. Jason's in here. He's a fireman. But anyhow, I had my stuff and I went out and I had two big old sacks full of just Christmas paper and some cedar off the bottom of a Christmas tree there at the door. And I was going to pick up some stuff in the yard and burn a few little limbs and such. And I went out there and took it out and I went through the kitchen. We got those igniters and I couldn't find one. And I happened to remember, I opened the kitchen drawer and there's a little fold-up match thing there. And when I, you know, a little cheap one, you know, you pick up on the counters, a plain little book of matches, I guess is what they call it. And I opened it up and I looked and there was just a few matches in there. And I went on out and you know what? To burn up everything I could get my hands on and throw on that fire, all I needed was one match. I never used but one. And I was lucky then because most of the time the thing won't happen. You know, you have to strike a dozen of them. But that first time I hit that thing, it sparked and flamed up. And I touched one little piece of paper just before the little match went out and touched one little piece of paper. And that thing began to burn. Next thing I know, when it hit that cedar, you know, it's like dynamite. Anyhow, it took off. And I thought about what James said. He said, talk about the tongue. Said, it's set on fire of hell, the tongue. And he said, behold, how great a flame, a fire, a little flame kindleth. One little match and every bit of that, gone, just like that. And sin's the same way. One little sin, that's just the beginning. Boys and girls, that's just the beginning. One beer, that's just the beginning. One little drug, that's just the beginning. One sin, that's just the beginning. And I promise you, it'll grow and get out of control and you won't be able to handle it. One little sin. But can I say for the saints of God, what God's done here in these years and thinking about over last year, the great things that were done. I had the scroll that we had on the wall here during Judgment House there at the desk this morning. I wrote Judgment House 2011 on it and the names of folk who got saved. 829 people went through Judgment House. 67, 8 or 9, 70 of you involved in that ministry. And boy, how my heart rejoiced. Tim and Wendy coordinated the whole thing. And I thank the Lord for it. And what's a great thing. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. What God's done here, this building and these grounds, that's just the beginning. That's just the tip of the iceberg of what God wants to do here. This great crowd here this morning, while the choir was singing, I looked and I said, boy, that's a good choir. And I counted, there are 10 empty chairs on this end. 10 empty chairs. And I don't know how many were down there. They might have been lined all the way to them, but down here there were 10 empty chairs. That's just the beginning. That's room in the choir for you. Besides that, some of you could stand down here on the floor. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. And of all the ministries that we're doing and how God's a blessing, that's just the beginning of what God wants to do. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask or to think. Now you think about your children. Are they pretty good askers? I guarantee you they are. You know, they do the computer printout for Christmas now. They're great askers. It don't make no difference. It makes no difference. I mean, and gifts, boy, I'm telling you. I mean, they used to be, you know, a dollar here and a dollar there and $5 there. Now it's, you know, $75, $85, $95, on up there. All those gifts, you know. All those gifts. But listen, they're great askers. And you say, I can't go but so far. And I know the pat answer, you know. Well, you still got checks. Still checks and checks. We got to have money. That's checks. You got checks. But look, listen to what I'm saying. What the Bible said. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask. We're pretty good askers. But did you know that God can do more than we... If we just all get together and just try to give God the biggest gross list you'd ever imagine, He's able to do more than that. I'll tell you something else. The Bible said He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. He can do more than you could ever imagine. More than you can ever think. You think about it. Think about it. went hunting the other day, and we were way down in a place in the woods, and it got dark. No street lights, no lights anywhere to be seen. And it was a beautiful, clear night. And I looked up, and my, you're talking about a canopy. Think about all those stars and what a just endless. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask or think. And what he's done here, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of our service. It's just the beginning of his blessing. And for those of you who are saved or lost this morning, death is just the beginning. Did you know that? People talk about death, and you go over here and look in the cemetery, and it's got a date, born and died, and it seems to be a finality to that, seems to be a period on the end of that. But that's not true. Death's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Just the beginning for a lost man. The rich man fared sumptuously every day, had everything you'd ever imagine. But the rich man died. Period? No. A conjunction. He died. And, not a period, and lifted up his eyes in hell, in torment. Death's not the end, just the beginning. For those of you who are lost, death will not end your troubled life. It will not end the rampage of sin in your heart and life. It will not end the consequences of sin. It's just the beginning. And forever and ever, there'll be no rest, day nor night, for all eternity in a place called hell. That's not the end. That's just the beginning. And for those who are saved, death is not the end. And it's hard. It's hard on us who are here. Hard on us who are here. We had all of our children and grandchildren at home except for Avery this Christmas. And it was wonderful. We had a good Christmas. We didn't have any fussing and fighting. Let's say it's not a blessing. Let's say it was a miracle. That's our house. That's where we are. It's a miracle. God blessed us. But it was wonderful. It was a good Christmas. Regina, I tell you this. I mean, it was just, she's always done great. But it was the best. And the kids, everybody, it was just the best food. I mean, just me, everything was great. It was wonderful. Great. But even in that setting, there's always time that I do, they may not, and I think Regina does. We think about Christy. And we think about our family who's on the other side, which makes it a little hard on us. But the truth of heaven is what blesses us. Amen. That death is not the end for the saint. Thank God. They're in heaven. They're in heaven. And they're rejoicing. And it's not the end. And it's just a little while, just a little while before we all get to be together again. Death's not the end. It's just the beginning for the saint of God. Just the beginning of God's blessing. What we've experienced down here has been just a little appetizer. Boy, the main course hadn't got here yet, to be in his presence for all eternity. What a blessing. What a blessing. I was running the dial at home. I watched a little bit of the early morning news, and I watched the weather and all, and had it on UNC TV there. This old house, I like to watch that. Those old houses and what they do and this, that, and the other. And, you know, can't sit down on Sunday morning and just in and out through and through. And then right after that went off, where we were just coming through, and I come through back through the house to cut the TV off, they came on with a program, and I can't remember, I believe her first name is Susie or something, no Susan or something. She's that lady that does financial counseling and all this business. And she stood up, and she's at the University of Minnesota, thousands of people there. And she's going to do this talk on finances. And she said, I've stood here many times on this stage. She said, I stood here last year. And she said, I just have to confess to you that everything I told you last year was not true. She said, you know, there was a time, said people came up to me and said, man, I've just bought my third house, and you know, my yield on my IRA is just great and everything else. And she said, we had all the answers. She said, but I've learned since all this has happened that everything I told you was wrong. So now I'm going to tell you what's right. And that put a big question mark in my mind. right then. She was wrong all that time. Now she's going to be right. And so I listened for just a minute. And she said, there are some principles that you've got to learn. And I didn't get all that. Didn't listen to what she said. But what she jogged was this. She put this in mind. She made one little statement. And she said, I want you to have this little motto and keep it in mind. And I wrote it down. She said, I don't want you next year to say, I wished I hadn't, H-A-D-N, apostrophe T, had not. I wished I hadn't. I want you to be able to say, I'm glad I did. And she said, if we'll think about our future in that respect, I wished I hadn't. Not say that, but say, I'm glad I did. My mind went back to, oh, a long time ago now. When as a young preacher boy, I'd leave Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, drive through the country to go to Lewisburg Junior College. And every morning, I listened to Theodore Ebb, Oliver B. Green, J. Vernon McGee. Every morning, all three of those men. I got a Bible education over a year. Drove back and forth every day. Listened to them every day. And Oliver B. Green, at the end of his program every day, here's what he'd pray. Lord, help men and women to do today what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. Help men and women to do today what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done today. This thought. I don't want you to say a year from now, I wished I hadn't done something. But say, I'm glad I did do something. I have never in all of my life in ministry met a person who said, I'm not glad that I got saved. I don't know of a person who regrets ever getting saved. I don't know of a person in the world that you could offer him $10 million for salvation. Not a person who's ever been saved. You could offer him $10 million. Everybody watch the lottery and you get excited, you know, when it's up to $150 million and, you know, everybody wants to go play when it's $150 million. Well, my gracious, if you're going to play when it's $10 million. You know, that ain't bad, $10 million, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. But watch. When you get saved, you get something that's absolutely priceless. Priceless. I wonder if we could live this 2012. So when we come to January 2013, we wouldn't ever have to say, I wished I hadn't. But I could say I'm glad I did. I promise you, there's not a person here who makes a vow to the Lord this morning and said, I'm going to be in church every time I can. You won't ever be sad you make that promise. Not a person in here who said, I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to start tithing. A year from now, you will not be sad that you did that. A person who said, I'm going to read the Word of God every day and I'm going to seek God and pray every day. You will not be sad at the end of this year when you did that. Those people who are here this morning, who are not saved, if you trust Jesus Christ, you'll never, never, never have to say, I wished I hadn't gotten saved. But for all eternity, you'll be able to say, I'm glad I did. Will you bow your heads in prayer? It's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost will make real in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, God, what you've spoke to my heart about and, Lord, through me this morning. Father, give us a new excitement about service. Give us a new zeal to serve you. God, give to us, our Father, that great integrity of heart to keep our vows to you. God, for those who have not been praying and reading the Word of God as they should, I pray, God, that this would be a day of renewal for them and just the beginning of their Christian growth. Our Father, I pray, God, those who have not honored you with their substance, they've not been giving or tithing, that God, they'll make a commitment today that they will be faithful. They will not be God robbers, but they will be faithful to tithe and God to give, and you'll reward them and they'll be glad that they've done that. And God, for those who are saints of God and those who members of this church. Lord, you said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And God, I pray this morning as they make a recommitment of their life to be faithful to the house of God, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every occasion they can be here to be assembled with God's people. God, next year, they'll not be sad they did that. They'll be glad. And God, I pray this morning that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building that is not saved, God, help them to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. I pray today they'd receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord.